Thank you, Pastor Tracy. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Jan. That was absolutely delicious. I mean, I know there are several of us in this room that I know, and I know that you've already utilized and have been walking in the light of God's word and have realized and have experienced the power that actually comes when we speak God's word and how things get changed and transformed in our lives. So thank you, Jan. That was super awesome. Praise God. The title of my message today that I'm going to share with you, and I just felt that God put this on my heart to share with you, and I pray that it is going to be a great and powerful blessing to you, is love never fails. Love never fails. God's greatest weapon for us is love. It is the weapon of choice. And I hope by the time I finish sharing in these 20, 30 minutes that I get, that you will have a new understanding and revelation of how powerful, how unbelievably powerful love truly is. I'd like to begin this morning just by sharing a little bit about my testimony and how I came to Christ. Because it is the beginning of the greatest life I could have possibly ever imagined. I want to go back to when I was a kid because I want you to understand where I came from and how love changed me. I lost my mom when I was about 5 or 6 years old in a tragic car accident. She was 9 months pregnant and it was just a yucky car accident. That changed all of our world because my dad was about 26 years old at that time, and there were three of us at home. It was my baby sister, and she was maybe one or two, and then myself and my older sister. And that left my father alone with us three girls and no one to help. And unfortunately, because of the loss of my mom and the loss of our sibling, it just threw my dad into a pretty severe depression. And it didn't make things better at home for us. So, a long story short, my father remarried shortly after my mom passed away, not because he was in love with her, but because he just needed help to take care of us. And my father kept mourning the loss of my mom for years after that, even though we now had a new stepmom, for which I was so thankful for. But depression was a reality in our home, and fighting was a reality in our home, and alcohol was a big-time reality in our home, and brokenness was a reality in our home. And eventually, one thing that I began to realize or believe, which was a lie of the enemy, was that I was not loved. I was not wanted. My mom left me, and it got worse. Not only did my mom leave, my dad didn't love me. My stepmom didn't love me. There was just nobody available to love me. My dad did a very wonderful thing. And even though he didn't go to church, he started sending us to church when we were little. So I was actually raised Pentecostal, which I'm so thankful for that. But because of the church that I was in, there was all these do's and don'ts, and we didn't fit in the do's and don'ts of our church. And that caused a lot of problems for me. Because now I wasn't loved at home, wasn't wanted at home, wasn't loved and wanted in any of our families. On the one side, my family's Pentecostal. They didn't want us because we weren't religious enough. On the other side, they were not Christian. And so we were too conservative and not wanted on that side. It was just rampantly everywhere where we were not wanted and we were not loved. And I remember sitting in my aunt's Sunday school class when I was around 12 years old and didn't hear a word she was saying because I was so lost in my own depression at 12. I know that there are many in this room that understand. And I'm sure many of you guys have been there yourselves. And I remember while I was sitting there, I felt like someone touched me on my shoulder. And I looked to see who was there, and there was nobody there. And in that moment, I was 12 years old, and nobody needed to say this. I knew this in my heart. I knew this. I knew that It was the touch of God. I knew that the Lord touched me that morning. And I knew that because there was this overwhelming feeling of love and comfort that I was wanted. It wasn't for another 4 more years that I gave my life to Christ, because I prayed a prayer one day. I said, I am done with being depressed. I hate life. I hate my life. I am done. Please, God, if you love me, bring my stepmom back to church and find us a new church. I said, if you love me, bring my stepmom back to church and find us a new church. Wasn't even a week later, and we're driving down Indianapolis Boulevard, going towards Whiting, Indiana. It's so real. It's so real. Like it's, I'm there right now. It's so real. My mom turns to us and she says, kids, I've decided I'm going to come back to church. And we're going to go to Family Christian Center. Woo! You know what's so cool about that story? He stopped the world to tell me that he loved me. And he loved me just the way I was. I didn't have to do the do's and don'ts of religion. I didn't have to look a certain way. I didn't have to behave a certain way. I didn't have to have issues whether I cut my hair or not cut my hair, whether I smelled like cigarettes coming into church or not. He loved me. He loved me just the way I was. God, I was absolutely, radically changed. I was so on fire for God. It changed my life. I was changed forever that day. Within one year, I was saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and baptized in water. And I was a radical teenager. Yes, I was. I was loud, well, big time. And I haven't changed. Still the same. I want to talk about God's love, and I want to tell you, if you didn't know, and if you don't know, and maybe you do know, I'm going to remind you, and I pray this morning that it's going to take you, that he's going to take you to a deeper place in your understanding of his love. But God actually is love. God is love. And I know you may have heard this before, but I'm believing God today that something's going to increase in you today about love. His love is the most powerful weapon and the weapon of choice in this world that we live in. Love is the most powerful weapon. And I hope to encourage you today that it is the weapon of choice. In 1 John 4:8, and again in 16, it says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God is love. Why is God being love so unbelievably important to us? Because if you are a believer in Christ, you now not only abide in this love, you are able to express that love. That's a biggie. I'm going to show you. You are able to express that love because you're abiding in him. Before Christ, all we had was access to natural love. And all of us are all and very well acquainted with natural conditional love. This conditional natural love was and is incapable of accomplishing God's will for our lives. It's incapable of it. It's fake. It's phony. It's empty. And it's exhausting. Something happened when you gave your life to Christ. Something really happened. If you are in Christ, you received a new heart, a heart of flesh, when without Him, you had a really hard heart. And for some of us, we're believers. We actually are believers. We've actually accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. And we still act like we have a hard heart, like a heart of stone. But you don't. You don't. Now, because of this new heart, we are able to obey God as He has equipped us in love to walk in a manner worthy of Him. But you don't know me, Jeanette. You don't know. You don't know. I don't have to know. I don't have to know. God knows. God knows, and because He knows, He's the one that said, now you can walk in a manner worthy of me. I don't need someone to tell me. But some of us, we're like Jan. Our self-esteem, our confidence is... And for some of us, God bless you guys, man. I look at you in awe. I won't lie to you. I'm like, our filled with confidence is like through the roof. Like, oh, what does it feel like to be you? Ephesians 4 verses 1 and 2 says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that I'm your prisoner, Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. I don't know if you don't know this, but you got some stuff that just ain't pretty. And either do I. There is stuff in our lives that's not pretty, but God is capable of handling that. You just do what you're supposed to do. And He said, walk in a manner worthy of me. How am I supposed to walk in humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another? And my baby sister's here today. Thank you, sister, for making it. Appreciate it. But she works my nerves! Oh my, this girl! And yet I love her like I will fight you. Don't mess with my baby sister. How am I supposed to walk in humility and patience? Are you kidding me, God? You're asking me hard things. Because you're not capable of it. But He is. And what we forget is that you no longer exist. You are hidden in Christ. Because you are abiding in God, the love of God. God is love. God is abiding in you. It's real. It's truth. They're not my words. I've given you the scriptures. I'm showing you that this is the truth. You see, God has already done the work in us. For those of us who have accepted Christ, we've changed. We're no longer who we used to be. The Bible says there, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And I don't know how many times you've read that verse, and I don't know how many times you heard that verse. But I can tell you for real, you don't know anything about what that verse is talking about. You are new. In fact, you are no longer. You are the body of Christ. Have you ever seen a headless person? Scary, right? That's not who we are. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head, literally and spiritually. And when you live the life in a manner worthy that God has given you to live, and don't tell me that I don't have a purpose. Don't tell me that I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. The life that you're living is the life that you're supposed to be doing. You got a job? Praise the Lord. You're supposed to be doing that for the glory of God in Him. You are. You're already doing it. You're already walking in the purpose of God in your life. It's not like you're supposed to be like this grand Christian. Good news. You're a grand Christian. If you are a believer, you no longer live. I'm telling you the truth because the Bible says so. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which now I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Yes, you did. You do. God, thank you. For those of us in Christ, we died when we accepted the Lord in our lives. But some of us don't know that, or some don't believe that, or some simply don't understand what that means. The Bible says, I died. You died. For you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. This is the beautiful thing, people. This is the beautiful thing. When the enemy sees you, he doesn't see you. For you are the image bearer of Christ Jesus. You are the image bearer of God the Father. When the enemy sees you, he sees God. But the thing is, you open a door and give him access because you don't believe that. You are called. It's not our life to live anymore. It's His. He's living through you. Didn't He say, greater works shall ye do? Didn't He say that when He left? Yeah. I know. This may be breaking news for some of you. For some of you, yes. The truth is, we are vessels of the Lord Most High. That's who we are. I love this scripture verse, and I haven't written it down, but the Bible talks about us being fragile clay jars. And in these fragile clay jars is this great power. And we are carriers of this love. And God said He's already poured. He poured. And when I actually speak this scripture out and I decree this scripture, Jan, He's poured His love. He continues to pour His love. For the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now I hope you realize you have something that maybe you did not realize how not only very important it is, but how very powerful it is. Love is the most powerful weapon and the weapon of choice against your enemy. And you know what? Love is the weapon of choice for this world. I'm a speech therapist, I told you. And a company got bought out just recently, and part of their motto is, we're to love. It was so weird. I was like, I don't know. Ding, 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 ding. Newsflash. I came into healthcare because I wanted to care for people. I don't need you to tell me to love. That's weird. If I care for people, it's because I desire. I want to help. That's my choice. I believe one of the greatest schemes that the enemy is using against the church, the body of Christ, is to cause us to stop walking in love. I believe this is because he knows that this is actually a powerful weapon of warfare against him. You see, Christ summed up the whole of the law in this one new commandment, and I wonder why. And I hope today you realize something you never did before, that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And in one scripture verse, it says with all our strength. I wonder why he said that. Does it require strength in me to love sometimes? And then the second was like it, love thy neighbor as thyself. God also taught us that all the world would know that we were his disciples by how we love one another. And he didn't even stop there, you guys. Wait, listen to this verse. He says, love your enemies. Maybe you guys are superwomans. Do good to those that hate you. These are not my words. This is the Lord you serve. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. I just want you to know, personally, thank you, Jesus. I have been delivered from a victim mentation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jen. I struggled big time with that. And if you've lived a lifetime of pain and mishap, mishaps keep happening in your life. That's how the enemy comes in and makes you to believe that, oh, pitiful you. I'm not pitiful. I'm powerful. Ugh. Nonetheless, love my enemies. Bless those who curse me. Pray for those who mistreat me. I don't care how holy you guys can be. That's hard stuff for me. Yes, it's hard stuff. Yes, it surely can be. And because we don't, it robs us of the lives that God intended for us. Because we let love escape us. We forget who we are. We stop walking in who we are. It robs us of the lives that God intended for us. Offenses. Holding on to anger against others. Unfortunately, people, it is a very serious matter. I believe this to be one of the greatest plans of the enemy. That Christians would stop walking in love so as to derail the call of God on your lives. To our families, to our friends, to the lost, to the dying world. To hinder us from not fulfilling the plan and the purpose that God has for all of our lives. Offense, I believe that God forewarned us. I actually believe that because it's in the Word of God. He forewarned us of the technique the enemy would use to keep us from walking in love. I believe that a major player is offense. I love this scripture verse, you guys. This is so fun. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? He thought he was trying to be like super holy. Seven times? This is Jesus. No. How about 70 times seven? Do the math. That 490 times from one person. And then he follows up with this parable. And I've got to like squeeze it down really short. But the parable of the debtor is this. A servant owed the king millions of dollars. And he said, please, king, please, I promise I will pay. And that king had compassion upon that servant and says, you know what? Just forget it. Your debt is free. It's wiped clean. You owe me nothing. Go. And that same servant went out and got a fellow brethren who owed him. Literally, when I looked this up, in one dictionary translation, it says it was $1.43. Another one, it says it was like maybe a couple thousand dollars. And he grabbed him by the neck and he said, pay me my money. And that servant said the same thing. Wait, just wait. I promise I will repay. He didn't let him. You guys know the story, right? He threw him in jail until he could pay it off. And the king found out. He said, you evil servant, I forgave you of much. You couldn't forgive him of little. Offenses come from being hurt. Offenses come from being used, abused, mistreated, wronged, injustices, and on and on. They may have already started a long time ago, and unforgiveness and bitterness has taken root in your lives. Maybe you lived a lifetime of being hurt and feel justified by being embittered. You're justified for your being embittered. I love those scriptures above because as a believer, I'm reminded of this one fact. I was and can continue to be that unforgiving debtor. God forgave me of much. So who am I not to forgive others of little? You cannot compare. You can say, but you don't know. I'm like, you don't understand what God forgave you of and what Christ did for you. You think you're trying to compare yourself with that, with how someone has hurt you. I'm so sorry. I know it's painful. It's ugly. I get it. But it doesn't compare to what Christ did for you and forgave you of. I'm humbled this morning in my revelation of God's word. The disciples answered to God when they said that. You know what he said? Oh my God. Increase my faith. We can all understand that. I'm feeling you. I get it. The disciples said, increase my faith because it can be super hard. But this is when the weapon is applied to the greatest, and it is the greatest weapon, the weapon of choice, God's love. In humility, daily remembering how much he's forgiven me and saved me from. And that continues daily, for God remembers my sin and your sin no more. When I come to him with a repentant heart, because God so loved me, I am too, I can, and I will love others. This is what the weapon of love can do. This is just some of the ones that I found in scripture. Love causes me to be an imitator of God. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love casts out fear so I can walk in faith. Love is tender-hearted towards others. Love forgives. Loves deeply. Love is of God. Love is power. Love lives life filled. Love imitates God. Loves enemies. Love blesses and does not curse. Love does good when hated. Love prays when spitefully used. Love abounds in the knowledge of God. Maybe being kind and loving towards others is becoming more difficult or has been difficult or impossible for some of you. God's love empowers us because it can overcome, it can conquer, it can cover others. Let's be renewed this morning and refreshed together in what God says about walking in love towards others. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, and I do, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly when sometimes I do. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Ladies, this weapon called love never fails. Be empowered by his love, overflowing more and more, unchanging, and he is love. This is the God that we serve who abides in us. We are his children, and so the love of God should be evident in all of us all the more. As the world around us becomes darker and it becomes more challenging, let the love of God become greater. Be empowered by being bathed in his word as God reminds of us of his love and how it must abound and be appropriated, especially in these last days. Can I pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that we will surrender to your love, that we will forgive others of sins, that we will forgive ourselves of our own sins, that we will forgive all bitterness, let go of all anger, let go of all those words, those negative words that others have spoken against us and that we've spoken against others. I ask you to cleanse our wounds, my God. I ask you to heal our hearts and restore our families, restore our lives. You've loved us, Lord God, like we've never hurt you. I pray, God, that you will release your love on your people today, so that we will love others like we've never been hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.